Pride of Jenny, 300 metres to go, coming back to them, 2.5, 3 lengths, Mr. Brightside looking to go back to back, chasing hard, then Antino, they've split the field at the 150, Pride of Jenny's digging in, 3/4, 1/2, Mr. Brightside wearing her down, Pride of Jenny, Mr. Brightside, stride to stride, but Mr. Brightside back to back, a neck, Mr. Brightside from Pride of Jenny in a great battle, 5 lengths Antino.
G'day listeners and welcome back to the Racing Previews Review Podcast, where we will be looking back on Mackayby Diva Stakes Day. We've just heard an epic call there. The stoush between Mr. Brightside and Pride of Jenny. It was the race we wanted to see in the Memsie. We didn't get it in the Memsie, but we got it in the Mackayby Diva. And myself, Ben Caluzzi and Will Alford, we were right there in the thick of it in the owner's section, getting our rude lids on TV. I don't think I've ever been that cold.
Oh my God, it was so cold.
It was ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. So it was a good thing he actually won and we had a bit to jump up and down about and actually warm ourselves up. But, Will, what'd you make of the weekend's racing and, you know, that 10 minutes especially?
Well, it was a great day of racing, but shit, the weather was awful. I think it was just before the Mackayby Diva, there was a hailstorm. So, like, Flemington was covered in ice. I was honestly surprised they went ahead with the meeting. There was that much hail because I thought, like, you know, it might sort of make the track, like, really slippery and, yeah, I don't know. Great day of racing and... It's probably the hardest I've ever celebrated a horse winning, and I don't even know. I don't own it, and I didn't back it. So, it was awesome.
Yeah,
just a bit tired now.
Yeah, you've had a fair crack at it over the weekend. No, it's good. It's good. You got to celebrate these things. Hopefully, he comes to the Fian next, which is Grand Final Eve at the Valley.
Surely not.
What do you reckon they do?
Well, that's the thing, I guess, with the schedule. The Fian, like, it makes sense on the schedule, but it's, you know, it's not a group one. So, they could just go there and win it by 3.5 lengths. And
Ben Hayes has come out and said it's the most likely option.
Oh, really? Okay.
I thought whatever that means.
When's the Martin? Where is the Martin Power then?
It's the perfect prep. It's 2 weeks Fian, 2 weeks Might and Power, 2 weeks Cox Plate.
Oh, yeah. They may as well just do that then. Just
come unless they wanted to go 3 weeks Turnbull, then 3 weeks Cox Plate and just only go one less run. But I don't know. Just run him. May as well, Who cares?
Just run him. Win as much money as possible. He's a gelding.
He's going well. Let's get straight to the race now. It was race 8 on the card. Form King had... the track rating a heavy 8.5 by this stage. It slowly deteriorated as the day went forward. Pride of Jenny, well, we knew she'd lead at a pretty good tempo. She's led at a fast tempo for group one average. She can probably go faster, but whether this track maybe just made Declan Bates go, you know, a length or two slower than he usually would. Antino sat second in the run and Mr. Brightside, Craig Williams, has perfected this. He's got her in probably the final 50 metres. It looked like he was going to go straight past her at maybe the 250.
Yeah, I know.
But she just kept digging. He's ran to 103.6. He ran to 104.1 in this race last year, Will.
Yeah, it was an awesome race. He looked like he just, there was like two or three strides where he was just going straight past her. And then, you know, she just kept kicking and, he eventually got – you always sort of knew he was going to get there, but the last sort of 100 metres was, oh, shit, is he going to – it's going to be tight. But, you know, he got there in the last sort of 50, he just pulled away. So it was comfortable enough. It was awesome. But, yeah, so Pride of Jenny's gone – she's gone quick, obviously. That's what she does. She hasn't gone ballistically quick like she can. You know, she hasn't gone 15 above or anything. She's gone 9 above to the all average at the 9.6 above to the 800 meters and you know sort of slowed down eventually just through the 200 meter splits, but I thought, yeah, the ride was perfect, but from Craig, he just sort of, he got it exactly right. The time, you know, the sectionals, it was just perfect, perfectly executed. It probably helped having Antino up in the firing line with him as well. You know, first three and one were 1-2-3 home, or not, you know, not in any particular order, but yeah, I thought Antino was good for, you know, they've been blown off the park aside of the first two. Just, I guess maybe that was down to the track, the testing track and the way the race was run. And yeah, obviously Fiercestina was disappointing. She, you know, I think this was a strongly run mile, and she was coming off a really slowly run 1400 meters on a good track. Mm. This was very testing ground. You know, I don't know. Maybe that's the reason. And like, there's no, you don't want to try and pinpoint the exact reason, try and find the exact excuse. You don't necessarily need to know the excuse. We know that she's capable of running at least 104. So you can pretty much just forget this run. Like, there's enough there for it to be easily excused. We go on to next start. She probably goes to the Turnbull, and you know, you probably don't need to have her going to her absolute best, but you can have her going to at least 103, and that'll have her favourite in the Turnbull.
I'll maintain that she remains the best bet of the entire Spring Carnival for me in the Turnbull.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing a fair bit of work on the futures on the 6-day app, my own app. If you want to download and sign up, if futures betting is your thing, that's probably our strength at the moment. We are in the plus. I think we're plus 30 units over the Spring Carnival for futures betting. And Via Sestina, we are very keen on next start. I think she'll bounce back. Pride of Jenny won't be in the Turnbull. She's going straight to the King Charles. So I'm saying it's going to be a lot more sedate tempo. We have lots of like Caulfield Cup runners in it. She'll just camp midfield or somewhere near the speed. It'll probably be a better track, up to 2,000 metres. I just think absolutely forgive this run. If you forgave Prada Jenny's last run, then you would have almost got the cash on Saturday. So forgive a good horse, one bad run. Genuine excuses for Prada Jenny last start and genuine excuses for Via Sestina on Saturday.
I think it's really good for Pride of Jenny to be, you know, in the context of in the narrative of the Spring Carnival, for her to be back to somewhere near her best, because, you know, if she had flopped here and she was out of, you know, contention for the big races, then, you know, it would have been disappointing. Like, I really want to see her being competitive in a Cox Plate and three lengths, you know, clear of the field, coming around the turn. She's falling in a hole, but like, she might hold on. I don't know. I really like have been looking forward to seeing her in a Cox Plate, and it's going to be really, really exciting. But Via Sestina, like, and I don't even think the heavy track it's probably not the excuse for her. You know, they raced on bottomless ground at Ascot when she ran second in the Champion Stakes over there, being beaten by King of Steel. I think she just probably had a bad one. And it's just as simple as that. You don't need to find the perfect reason for it. Shit happens. She'll
polar opposite. She's a good horse. Race conditions and race shape to last night, as you said.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. Warmonger was good too for a Cups campaign. Like, he hasn't done a massive rating, but he sort of ran on well. He's not like done anything different that we don't know of him, but he's on track to do the right sort of things in a Caulfield Cup. So it made me, but I sort of had my doubts over whether Warmonger was actually going to be a contender in the big races. But you know, he's been almost six lengths here, but it sort of gave me a little bit more confidence in what he might be able to do this preparation. So. It was a really good race, and I think it just makes everything a lot more exciting going forward, leading into
100%.
The Cox Plate. I think it's exciting.
Stewards report, pinstriped lame, so a bit of an excuse there for the Memsey Stakes winner, and we'll see how he comes out of that. Hopefully he does spring out of it and can find another suitable race, but who knows if the issue is a little bit more serious, and maybe that is question marks going forward about his spring campaign. All right. Is that it for the Maccabi?
Yeah, I think so.
I want to go back to race two quickly because this is a horse that you and I do have quite a good opinion of. His name is Dawn Service. Gay bot, fit, leader, brilliant ride by Blake Shin. The track was probably soft 7.5 by this stage in the day. Yes, he did have favours, but I thought it was a good win. The rating is not anything too special, but... yeah, probably a bit of a miss, not backing him here, in my opinion. And I thought it's a big tick to obviously the Autumn Glow form line, and a horse who wears the Autumn Glow silks in Comanche Miss, well, she's a big, big, big follow for going up to 1,600 metres next start.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really think it's a miss. I think he's run the same rating 3 times in a row. I think, you know, this race hasn't gone any good, really. I don't have any intention of following any of the horses out of this race. I thought that they let Blake Shin get away with it. They let him get away with a soft lead, and he sort of took off down the back where, you know, there was a massive southerly, and you know, it was essentially a tailwind around the Flemington turn. So it was just almost impossible for them to get him after they gave him such a bit of a head start. So, yeah, I wouldn't be following this race going forward. I don't think they've gone quite any good. Wonder Boy was friendless in the betting, which was confusing to me. I don't know what the go was there. Maybe it was the wet track because he's a big horse. Maybe there was questions on him running 14. I don't really know what happened there, but the market definitely knew about it, and he was awful. He started $4.80 Betfair. And Daggers was well supported, and obviously so was Dawn Service. But he's gone back on his form. So, you know, not a race I'm super keen on following in the future, but yeah, that good result. It's well bred. It's like, you know, he's by Sunlight out of Justify. It's good to see him running well.
Yeah, he might not be a Caulfield Guineas horse, but he might be a, what's the other race on Derby Day?
Carbine Club.
He might be a Carbine Club horse up to the mile against those B graders. Comanche Miss, I thought she was huge, which could have been, you know, against Ray Shape as well. She settled well back in the field. She's by Castle Vecchio, so I reckon she'll only get better over further.
Yeah, she's been looking like she wants further for the entire prep.
Yep. I don't think the market will probably miss her next start, but just depends where she lands, what type of race she goes to. All right, race three, the Captain Tibes. Taken out by Bellatrix Star. I backed this horse one start too early. I was actually keen on her at a price last time round, and she's won at a big price here. She remains unbeaten on rain-affected going. She brought the New Zealand heavy track form. She had form around horses like Move to Strike, who is also a Tiakau juvenile. She has gone straight past Bold Bastille. She's run a rating of 93.9, so solid enough. I don't think these are superstars either. Bot to be or not to be was solid in third. And the disappointment was obviously Drifting, but pulled up with EIPH, so genuine excuse.
So with the straight, the straight was heavily affected by the wind on Saturday. There was strong winds and... yeah, so she was covered up. She was suited in by the race shape and, you know, the track as well. Yeah, she was good. This race hasn't gone particularly well at all. Bold Bastille, the market hated her. She was an 11% drift. You know, she was on pace and go in straight into the wind. And she's off her form, but yeah, I'd forget about her as a genuine group filly. She's, you know, open grade, she's probably just an open class benchmark horse. To be or not to be was okay, but, you know, Yeah, I'm just not a race I really want to follow. Drifting was the well-supported favourite. Obviously, I was on her.
How many times is your best bet put up with AIPH?
That's fine. I backed the winner as well, so it doesn't matter.
the podcast didn't get that.
No, they did. I said I was backing Balachick Star on the podcast.
Did you?
You just weren't paying attention. Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I probably wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, I back Kadeem as well. But anyway, I would have liked Drifting to win, but doesn't matter. We move on. Not a race I want to follow.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, hopefully this is a race you might want to follow. It was the Poseidon Stakes, race 4, 1,100 metres. The Coolmore Stud Stakes favourite was dropping back from 1,200 metres in the McNeil back to 1,100 metres here. He had his first dress rehearsal down the Flemington Straight with obviously the Dane Hill on 5th of October and also the Coolmore in mind. I thought it was a solid win, slow tempo. It looked like First Settler was going to challenge him for a second at probably the 250, and then he just found another gear, dropped him. He's regressed slightly off his last start number, but I honestly don't think he loved the ground, and I think he'll be better on dry ground.
Yeah, there was a bit stacked against him, you know, like he was drawn toward the inside. He was exposed to the wind. It was he was up on speed. Like they didn't go stupidly quick, but you know, it was a decent pace. Like they went crawling, but it wasn't quick either. Just sort of slightly below average. He hasn't taken a massive step forward, which I would have liked to see him do, but he, there was enough stacked against him there for me to not care about it. I think he'll get there next time. He's slightly regressed, but, you know, not the end of the world. There was a bit stacked against him. First time ever really on a heavy track, I think. First Settler was good. He was well backed. He was suited by the way that the track was racing, and Growing Up is obviously a very nice horse, and I'd love to see where they go next. I wouldn't be surprised if he's like naturally a 1400 meter horse. Like he's very strong. You know, it sort of looked like First Settler was going to get to him at the 200, or maybe a bit earlier than that. And he just sort of kept going. It was just lots. He's all strength. Like he's not a squibby horse. He's lots of strength, and he'll be suited in a high pressure race like an Everest or a Manicato, which that could be interesting if they go there. He'd fit in well there.
I reckon they will go straight to the Dane Hill on the 5th of October, which is 1,200 3-year-old, and just go the soft option. Whether they are tempted by an Everest after that, I'd love to see him in a Manicato, but I don't reckon they'll go. One of the things I just love about this horse is, yes, ratings are fantastic, but I think you can learn a lot about him just by watching him. His acceleration, you don't need numbers to tell you that his change-up speed is absolutely elite. And just how he was able to find when First Settler got to him. You look at his win in Adelaide when, you know, he was only a length in front of him, and then all of a sudden, boom, turn a foot, he's four in front. Like, he just has this elite change-up speed, and I would say he's definitely the best sprinting colt in Melbourne. It'll just be interesting to see what comes down from Sydney.
Yeah, well, Godolphin looks like they've got a pretty good one up in Sydney, so we'll talk about him in a second. But yeah, he's definitely Melbourne's best 3-year-old.
Yep. All right, let's get to the Archer, 2,500 metres, Group 3. It was a quality handicap. Point King was able to get the job done here, $4.80 on the fixed odds. He staved off the challenge of Hit the Road Jack, who won a Flemington feature, was it last start or two starts ago? Berkshire Breeze was ridden stone cold, went back to last, and it's probably cost it the race after it led and was run down last time. So very, very interesting race. They've gone at a fast tempo here, and Point King has outstave them. Whether there's enough improvement to, you know, be running well in cups and the like, I probably doubt, but who knows?
Yeah, so what happened here? So they went really slow to about the 1,000, and then they picked it up from there. So they've, you know, you're looking like just at the 600. So they've mm-hmm. like the mid race squeeze is quite significant, and then they've just sort of kept going the last four. Yeah, the tactics on Berkshire Squeeze, you know, and I don't mean to be too, what's the word, critical, but Kirimara is probably the best trainer in Victoria, maybe Australia, and for the tactics to him, for the horse, so the horse jumps clearly first and they neck him out the back in what eventuates into being a slowly run race to the point where to about the 1,000 meter mark when they start turning, where there's a 40 kilometer tailwind, and they're 15 lengths off the lead, and then they just sort of expect to make up. Like, it doesn't work like that, and it's scary to think that, like, you know, I believe that they know what they're doing, but so this is a golden ticket race. They want to get into the Melbourne Cup. If they want to get into the Melbourne Cup, and they're dead serious, they should just go to the lead and win on this horse, because there is no way that if they know what they're doing, they go back. Like, I don't want to be disrespectful or anything, but, like, seriously, it just doesn't make any sense. But yeah. Like, we're talking about the best stable in potentially the country, and that's what they do. Like, you know.
It actually, like, the race pace and the leader in terms of Good Oil was backing up. They put Craig Newitt on. It was actually quite predictable that this horse was going to go straight to the front and try and pick the tempo up. He was the one on the backup. He had nothing to lose because he was the complete bolter of the field, BSP 100-1. And if Berkshire Breeze had just gone forward and tried to sit, you know, second or third in behind him, he probably wins the race.
If Berkshire Breeze sits just off him, he wins by two lengths, and that's undisputed. Like, if he goes forward, he sits outside him and he wins by two lengths. He runs his rating in the Banjo Patterson Series final maybe a bit better, and he wins. But, you know, they decided to go back, and you know, here we are. It's not in the Melbourne Cup. It should be, though, but. Well, he didn't finish off when he went forward in a really slow pace, so we just send him out the back in another really slow race and try to out-sprint them. Doesn't work like that, guys. Anyway.
Yep. Is that race done?
Yeah, pretty much. We haven't really talked about it, actually. The Point King was good, but, you know, not Melbourne Cup competitive at all. He had 54 here, and he'd need to keep improving. Hit the Road Jack, you know, it's a jumper. The VRC are very lucky that they haven't got a jumper running in the Melbourne Cup. We're Australian jumper anyway. Mostly Cloudy was well supported and good. Don't know. I don't have much to say about this race. I wouldn't be they're probably just going to race each other, these sorts of horses, but it's not Melbourne Cup relevant.
It's a tick for Anthony and Sam Friedman, I think, because this horse was only second up, really. Like, he was third start in Australia. First start, you know, a bit of a look around. Second start, one at the Valley, and then he's improved his rating here. So I think they're very good trainers in general, but in particular, they've shown they're very good trainers of stayers in the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, I feel like they've gotten a lot better at training stayers recently. Mm.
Yep. Cross Your One Race Six. We won't dwell on that race because you know, that's just a ratings race. But God bless him, because I went field in my early quaddy. It was the reason that I had a decent payout. I think he was $26, 34 BSP. So big ups to Chris Waller there.
You'd be sick if you backed Nicoletti Fido.
Oh, yeah.
It looked home.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go to race 7, because this race is rated really, really well, the Let's Elope. Grinzinger Bell, she was always probably going to lead this race, even though she drew out in barrier 14. She's a natural go forward and, you know, jump and run sort of horse. Punting form has got this going even to like a decent tempo. So I think Frosty has just really perfected this, and he's skipped away for a 2.5 length win. On Form King, it's gone to 100.3. So that's pretty good going for Group 2 1400 meter mares.
Yeah, I think she got it. I don't think she really got away with it, but she was in her comfort zone at the pace she was traveling at. And obviously she was assisted by the wind. Also, I was going to say, was the hail after? Was it after the race, or was it? I think the hail was sort of just the sort of really started hailing just before the
race.
So it sort of had.
We were going to go out and watch this race.
Yeah,
we were about to go out and watch this race, and we're like, nah, we're staying behind.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, so that might have had something to do with the margin spread as well. So I don't know. This is a really tricky race. You've got to think about that, because it was. I wouldn't want to be riding a 500 kilo animal while it's. Like I'm getting pelted with hail and the horse might slip on it. I don't know. It doesn't sound fun. So, yeah, good win though. I didn't end up backing it, which was sickening. But, you know, whatever. I reckon this horse could be sort of on the cusp of being competitive in Empire Rose. This is a good rating.
Yeah, absolutely.
See You in Heaven was really good. I think so as well.
See You in Heaven was good. Elsafina was good. She sat a little bit wide. $13 a place all in. God bless her. I think she's a mare who's had some feet problems, and Grant and Alana Williams have always said that she doesn't mind a soft track, so that's a big tick there. And Fortunate Kiss, you were saying, Bot, was good as well.
Yeah, she was like she's been pretty bad the first two runs for the new stable, but you know she's run some nice late time here from. A long way back, and she could pick off a race over 1400 meters, you know, if they go slightly back in class. And Lady of Jones was good too.
Yep. I know this is a really wet track, but are we a bit disappointed by what Cast has done so far this prep?
Yeah, she's a horse that's had lots of issues. Like she hasn't done a whole lot of racing, and maybe we've just seen the best of her, and which is a little bit disappointing, but like at her best, she's really, really nice horse, but I think she might just be past her.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Let's skip across to the ninth. Was the Bobby Lewis Group 2 Quality Handicap 4-year-old plus event. Arkansas Kid was my best bet of the day last weekend, and he's backed up here. And he's won at $6.50, which is a little bit sickening. I only sort of broke even on the race after launching him in an easier assignment last week. He has run to 97.6, which is bang on what he's really been sort of doing. Skybird's run well, good return by her, and Buenos Noches was good. He looked like he was going to cut through and beat him, but no, he hasn't been able to get that elusive win either in Right to Party. She was solid, but by this stage, the track was very, very wet. So I think there's a lot of forgive runs in behind.
Yeah, Sky, Arkansas Kid got to his best. He first up run was as good as he goes. And second up, obviously, when we both backed him, he was no good. And third up, he returns to the same figure that he ran first up. So that's just how wagering works, and it fucking sucks, but whatever. He was good. It looked like Skybird was going to get him. She was enormous. This is a peak figure for her. I've always sort of felt like she's been underrated. Just, I don't know, but she stamped a number here, and, you know, and they've got options with her as well, because.
What is she?
I think she's a 1400 meter horse. Like, if I wouldn't be surprised if they target the Toorak with her.
I've backed her at big odds for the Toorak and the Golden Eagle. She's probably not good enough to win a Golden Eagle, but Yeah, she's always been a talented horse, and I remember her winning on Cox Plate Day in that Phillies Classic, and it was a bit of a wow victory. Yeah.
She's always had that sort of wow factor, but she hasn't really ever put a big rating down ever. Yeah. But she's done it here, and the late time sort of, like, she's crawling over them. She should have, like, I think she probably wants further. But, you know, she can break the 100 barrier at Weight for Age and over 14. Maybe she's a horse for the 1400 meter race that they've moved back. There's at the CFR. Is that it, or is it Rupert Clark that they've moved back?
It's the Rupert Clark that they've moved back, handicap.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe she's a horse for that. That might come up weak if she can get in light at the bottom of the weights. You know, she could be competitive in that race.
I reckon the Rupert Clark would be a good race for those 3-year-olds to target this year. Those 3-year-olds would have just gone to the traditional Guineas path, but now they're going to have an option to drop back to 1400 meters and go to a race like that. So. Yeah, I wasn't the biggest fan of the Rupert Clark moving because it was the natural stepping stone handicap towards the Toorak. But yeah, when it moves from one place, it's always going to gain in another place. All right, did you want to talk about the last Berkeley Square or skip?
Not really. He ran to his best. Good win.
Yeah, and I think he goes pretty well on a wet track as well. So Benny Ascari put out a tweet. When the rain started coming down, he highlighted three horses you can sort of have something on if it's raining. What were the three? One of them was Bellatrix Star, and one of them was Berkeley Square. So he's jagged a $16 winner and a $7 winner purely off wet track figures. So
he's not bad, is he?
He's not bad. All right, to Sydney.
Yes.
All right. Let me just get this up. Starting the Rose. The run to the Rose, 1,200 meters, Group 2 for the 3-year-olds. It has been taken out by Traffic Warden. This is an enormous win. Lots of good judges were tipping it off. Obviously, he was trialing really well, and he's looked sharp coming into this, and James Cummings is sort of touted him a lot in the press, saying, I think people were asking him during the week, is Arf Cabin your Everest horse? And he was sort of saying, not if Traffic Warden is going well. And my word, has he gone well. But what has he gone to? Form King has this rating going enormous, which, you know, it's all a little bit subjective still, but what is it, 102.6?
102.7 is the Weight for Age number for Traffic Warden. It's a big number. In that puts him in Everest conversations as well. And like, I think he's a horse that thrives on, well, will thrive on stronger run races. This one wasn't. This is a slowly run race, which is, you know, you watch the race visually and, you know, Storm Boy has been pumped up to lead the race, and you've got Wayne Hawks and Johnny O'Neill on national radio saying it's the worst ride of all time. Like, guys, get a fucking stopwatch. Like, again, like, John, what's his name? Is it John or Wayne Hawks? One of them. The
John
younger
O'Neill?
One. No, Wayne. Is it Wayne Hawks, the one that's on radio? Is that him?
Oh, yeah, Wayne Hawks is the one on radio. Yeah. John Hawks, like, is the oldest.
Yeah, so he's like, he's a well-respected trainer. He does not understand the idea of pace at all, you know. And you know, you see that in the way his horses are ridden. You know, it's scary. Like, we've got to bet on their horses and their tactics.
You don't have to.
Yeah, I know you don't have to, and I prefer not to. I don't particularly like backing his horses, but anyway, I thought it was interesting his you know, saying that this was the worst ride of all time. Like, guys. Anyway.
Yeah, I backed the horse. I had Storm Boy was my second best bet of the day. I had no problems at all with the ride, but it is becoming a bad habit of his that he's stepping slow. And it'll be interesting next start in the Golden Rose if you step slow. I mean, if you step slow over further, a lot of the time the early tempo is a bit softer, so you might be able to get away with it a bit more, but still, it's not a good habit.
No, definitely not. But, yeah, it's sort of, I don't know if it's a sign that he wants further that he's stepping slow. Maybe it's just an issue, but I still think he probably, he wants to get out of a trip. So I have no, like, the race has gone really well, and he's just off his first up run. So it's not the end of the world for him, and I think he can still improve over an extended trip. I don't think he's gone awful here. It's too early in the prep to say that he hasn't improved from, no, that I'm talking shit. He definitely has. You can't definitively say either way, but this is exciting because you've got horses like Linebacker who's well bred, like his mum's side. There's a deep pedigree there, and especially one that'll get her over at least a mile and probably further up to 2,000. He was really good. He was the fastest closer in the race, and you know he shouldn't be the fastest closer. He should be a strong miler to 2,000 meter horse in this.
Can I just say quickly, Linebacker, we have taken $13 for in the Caulfield Guineas on the sixth day this morning. So I thought that was an excellent Caulfield Guineas trial, just scooting up along the fence there. They said he did a lot wrong in the parade as well. So maybe there's a bit.
Yeah, it is. Anode was really good. It sort of feels funny. He just doesn't seem like the sort to be like a big improver, but he's gone really good. But maybe it does because, you know, he's only on the mum's side. He's from the family of Fastnet Rock. So another deep pedigree there. So lots to look forward to about these horses. With this crop of 3-year-olds, there might not be one that's that big standout one, but there's a lot of depth. And if all of these horses are around for the next sort of 4 years, the group races will be stacked for the next coming years, and it's really exciting.
Good crop.
Yeah, Tropicus was really good again. He's looking for further. Emirati was good from too far back. Good again. Bustling was very disappointing. So was Switzerland. I think they're both not really any good. Traffic Warden, you know, he's run 1:27. This is a big number. Big splits. He sort of wobbled in the straight. He's probably, I don't know. Do you think he should be favourite off this for the Golden Rose? It's a tough question, isn't it? I think he probably should be the number, but I've just always thought Stormboy is just going to be favourite in the Golden Rose, and Broadsiding's probably second or third pick first up.
Well, Broadsiding to me is going to start third favourite purely based on the fact that he's first up.
Yeah.
I could be completely wrong there.
Yeah. But at this point, Traffic Warden is I can't say a better horse, but this is a better performance than anything Broadsiding's done. Yeah. He smashed him. He absolutely smashed him.
And who rides? I mean, J-Mac probably goes on Broadsiding in the Golden Rose, and Zach Lloyd probably sticks on Traffic Warden, and it's a massive opportunity for Zach. But, if you're James McDonald and you've got the choice, you're having to think about it.
I'd say he's nailed on to run Broadsiding just because of bit more of a pedigree behind Broadsiding, and there's a lot of money involved.
True. And he can ride him in the Caulfield Guineas, J-Mac, but he can't ride him in the Cox Plate. So, yeah, he probably does ride Broadsiding.
Mm.
Stormboy looked like he was going to get beaten comfortably at the 200, and I just love the fact that he keeps running. Mm. He's beaten less than a length.
Mm. I still think he just seems like a miler, and probably, to be honest with you, they're probably wasting time running him over 12 and 11. But everyone's just sort of thought he'd just win, but I don't know.
I'll reserve judgment on him until next start, whether I think – at this point, I still think 1,400 metres is probably going to be his top, but we'll find out shortly.
Yeah, I think he's a miler, but I think he'll take – I think it, I think you just take that next step at a mile. But yeah, I was really impressed with what Traffic Warden did. He's improved massively. Like, I sort of
can you win an Everest?
Well, I hope. Well, they're going to go that he's going to be the Everest horse. It's like he's gone massive, but like he's my street boss. He should be, you know, yeah. I don't know, but I hope they race him in the Corfu Guineas. But Broadsiding's a Corfu Guineas horse, so he'll be there. So I don't know, but he's the Everest horse, and he can be competitive.
Yep. Emirate is a horse that I've backed in the Coolmore. I thought he was really good. Circumstances probably didn't really help his case, but yeah, it'd be interesting to see how he goes down the straight. And Bustling, I think massive alarm bells, bit of fast time fake form over in WA potentially. And I would not be shocked at all if the Everest slot, if they don't even run him. It has happened before when horses have gotten a slot early, they've gone way too prematurely and picked their horse and they haven't gone that good. Like, this is a lot of money on the line to be putting in a horse who won't be competitive.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with that. Mm. Yeah, because it's a waste of money.
Yeah. All right, shall we go back a few races to race five? This was probably my most... Sorry, race six it was, the Scirocco. Sunshine in Paris has gone back-to-back in this race. This was probably my most satisfying result of the day. Had lots of people telling me that I'm an idiot for backing against Jolly Star, and Jolly Star has regressed here. Probably circumstances haven't really permitted. You've got the New Zealand horse who really took off in the lead, Belclair, Beyond Baker, and Jolly Star... Karen probably just didn't get the early part of the race right. It was in a tricky spot. It was second last. And put on top of that, she has regressed. Sunshine in Paris has run to 103.3. So really, really solid number. She'll be going to an Everest. She carried 58 kilos here, which is a kilo and a half above weight for age. So she was really good. And Mumbai Muse was solid as well. But it's probably all honours the winner.
Yeah, I was really disappointed with what Jolly Star did visually anyway, but you still got to look at the numbers and she was a long way off the speed and she had to do a lot through the mid stages and she was still running late. I think it was a bad ride. Sunshine in Paris is obviously very good. She puts herself obviously in the Everest picture. She's always been there. This is as good as she's ever gone. She's obviously had a couple of issues because they haven't got a lot of racing into her. And, you know, I think they're going to go straight into the Everest off this. It sort of pissed me off when they said Jolly Star wasn't going to go there. But that was purely because, like, they sort of thought she was better fresh. So that with Sunshine in Paris, she's obviously got a lot of issues. So, you know, there's only so much work that can get into her. She's a really nice filly. You know, she's definitely within the Everest picture now. I don't have any issues with Jolly Star at all. I thought she went as good as she sort of not possibly because she could have done a bit more, but it's not the end of the world. Dean Watling put out an interesting
voila, second up.
Yeah, it seems to be a thing. Like they, you know, there's a decent sample size for it too. So. It's an interesting bit of information. I'm not one to get too into those sorts of things, but you know, there's a decent sample size for it. So, I guess it's not necessarily hand picked either because, you know, Chris Weller would have, he would spend so much time on his top horses and be completely, what's the word I'm looking for? Like he's all, yeah, that's the word I'm looking for, meticulous with everything to do with these horses. And he might have just backed off her, and that's probably the case. So that's just, he's a, you know, with Chris Weller, he's a very structured trainer. Mm. It could be a thing. So it might not be a thing with his sort of just a regular horse, but with these top liners like Jolly Star, And he's working with these horses every day without doubt. So,
It might actually be a training like method thing. Like a lot of the time they might come back, sprint really well fresh, and, you know, this is not the grand final second up. He's got grand finals third, fourth, maybe even fifth up, and he might actually genuinely back them off in some of their work because he wants to prolong their preparation. That's just a theory that I've thrown out there, but who knows? I think the concerning thing for me with Jolly Star is that she looked awesome and sprinted so well off a slow tempo first up. She has gone nowhere near as good second up off a fast tempo. I know some circumstances have been against her, but there is no such thing as a slowly run Everest. So that's my little knock on her now. Whether she can get back to that first up figure off a really, really fast tempo when, you know, she's a 1,000 guineas winner and maybe she's not a 1,200 meter horse at the end of the day.
Maybe
not, but time will tell. Race 7, the Ming Dynasty, 1,400 meter group 3, taken out by Lady Shenandoah. Bot needs to start betting in Sydney because he said, how was this horse not favorite in the preview podcast?
What was it then, like $7, $9? Was it
$7 we took on the sixth day. There might have even been $8 around at one stage. Look, the number's not massive here, but it's a good platform for her to get over further. What'd you make of the win?
Yeah, I mean, the fillies aren't that good. So, you know, it's not a massive number, but it's not that far off what Manal and the rest are doing. So, it's a good win. She carried 53, so, you know, she was very well in at the weights. Nice horse. She's competitive in the T Rose and then maybe the flight. I'm surprised sort of that they're trying to go out over a mile. She's not bred to be a miler, but maybe that's just what they're showing at home. I don't know. I was at least surprised that they was first up 1,400 meters. I would have thought they'd go 12 and then especially with Chris Weller as well. He's normally so conservative.
It was a bloody good ride by Jay Ford, I'll tell you that. One of his better rides on horses that I've backed anyway. Henline was the other horse I had something on. I think just keep following him to races like the Spring Champion. That's the race he's aimed at. So 1,400 meters first up, it's probably never really going to be suitable, but he zipped home second fastest last 200 of the race. And I think he'll only improve up to the mile and 2,000. So yet again, another Freedman horse who, I think he's going to be a genuine stayer in time.
Mm-hmm. Nice horse, nice run. Good spits. Yep.
All right. Anything else? Maybe race 9, Theo Marks, NCAP. He was the weights horse, no doubt. Coming into this, he's got 54 kilos. He's a four-year-old. Celestial Legend is plonked with 59 kilos and was he at the gate really? NCAP had the run under the belt. I'm a little bit dirty on myself that I didn't end up tipping him. He was sensationally backed. I think he halved in quote from Thursday to Saturday, NCAP, and he's got the job done here, beating Bases Loaded and Boom Talk. But what'd you make of NCAP, the Gary Portelli horse getting back in the winner's enclosure?
These are all Epsom horses. I don't have much of a handle on any of these. They've zipped home. The races haven't gone badly. You can just about follow, like, just about all of them, to be honest with you. NCAP was good. Redina, who won the race last year, was good.
The Epsom last year, you mean?
No, yeah, one of them. One of the 2 mile races. New Energy, Tannhauser, Celestial Legend, Osipenko, Molly Bloom, they've all come at least 5 lengths above for the last 400 meters. So they're all on track. Nothing wrong with them. Celestial Legend was friendless, wasn't he? Yeah. We sort of, like, everyone sort of knew that was going to happen. He's not a... that puts the Everest idea to bed.
No shit.
With it. Thank God that's over. Like, My brain would just explode if that happened. But yeah, it's like it's a bunch finish. I think that's just a function.
Does he go to an Epsom? Does Celestial Legend go to an Epsom second up with a big weight?
Into the Golden Eagle.
Into the Golden Eagle.
Mm. I just really wish they went to a Cox Plate with him because I think he probably is a 2,000 metre horse.
Yeah. Yeah, he never really looked like he was going to win, did he? But he plugged on.
He's just run off his feet.
Yeah, it was definitely a pass mark.
Definitely.
Is that about it? Strike was bloody good in the last. 96.6 for the Annabelle Nesham Sprinter comeback. He's come from a long, long way off him. Visually very impressive. So
I don't even know who a striker is, so I can't help you here.
Bot hasn't even bothered looking at that race, but anyway. Yeah. Shall we get to a few questions, or have you got anything else, any other horses you want to speak about? I saw Archo Nacho won down the straight Sharp Inn, so that was pretty good.
He is a nice horse.
Yeah.
Makes sense that they sold him, though, but, I mean, financially, like it's a – Probably was a good decision selling him, but if you're in horse racing to the financial reasons, you're a fucking idiot. So I would just kept racing because it's fun.
Always dash for the cash.
No.
All right. A couple of questions. Two on Twitter first. Harry Kings, will I Am Me go to the Everest? You reckon she gets a slot?
Yeah, she'd have to.
James says, unrelated to the weekend, but moving the fans seems to have worked a treat. Hearing lots of great horses are considering it this year. Yeah.
Mm.
So the interesting thing is that the Underwood used to be on the Sunday after grand final day at Sandown, and it used to always be a good race. Even a few years ago, you got Alligator Blood, I'm Thunderstruck, Mr. Brightside, all going there after the Maccabi Diva at 1,800 metres. They couldn't put it on the Saturday because obviously that's AFL Grand Final day and they're not going to run a Group 1 meeting, Metro meeting on a Saturday and run it up against AFL Grand Final. So they've moved the Underwood Stakes meeting from that Sunday to this Saturday, only 1 week after the Maccabi Diva, and they're probably not going to get the A-grade horses that they really want to. We said thank you very much. We moved the fee into grand final eve, and there's a really good chance that we might get Mr. Brightside. So that's how that has all sort of worked out. When the there's no actual patent committee that evident right now, but we were always vetoed. We've wanted to move the fee into that date for a very long time, but we could never move the fee into that Friday night while the Underwood was on that Sunday, because you can't have two weight for age races over 1,600 and 1,800 metres 2 days apart. So, yep, that's how that's gone down. Dean Pirro, Via Sestina, track conditions or doesn't like a Melbourne leg? Personally, I think the latter.
I don't know. I think people get too worried about exactly knowing what happened. Like, she ran kind of shit, and we all know that she's a really good horse, and who knows?
I would be shocked if it's the fact that she can't go the Melbourne way.
That stuff's not real. I mean,
I don't subscribe.
I don't believe in that sort of stuff.
You don't believe in? Did you not watch Kingston Town back when he was younger horse?
Did he win a Cox Plate?
He won three Cox Plates.
Yeah, I know he won three Cox Plates. Are you saying he couldn't go the Melbourne way? And he won three Cox Plates.
No, when he was younger,
yeah,
probably before those Cox Plates, it took him a while. Yeah, he wasn't.
So as you're telling me the horse that won three Cox Plates couldn't go the Melbourne way of going? Is that what you're telling me?
He was. I think he went before he won that first Cox Plate. Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, fuck's sake!
I'm not saying he couldn't go the Melbourne way. I'm not saying he couldn't go the Melbourne way. But all you have to do is look at his form and his replays. And he was better in Sydney.
Apart from him running 137 time form in a Cox Plate.
Could have run 140 if he ran properly.
Oh, fuck off.
Coops Irwin, current top five power rankings for the Cox Plate. Number one.
Who is number one? Oh, Prognosis, probably.
Prognosis for me. We're on at 11s and 350 a place. I'm going to stick with...
Sustainer's probably going to be there. Got to be there.
I'm going to stick with Via Sustainer 2. I'm going to go Pride of Jenny 3. I'm going to go Broadsiding 4. And I'm going to go Mr. Brightside 5. That seems really harsh on Mr. Brightside. But I just think once we get out to 2,000 meters and Pride of Jenny is going as fast as she does, I just think that is a little bit of a weak point for him. He can stick with her at 1,600, I think, when she goes that tempo, but 2,000 meters is a pain barrier that I'm not sure he can sustain. But who knows? We'll soon find out. Coops says, from the horses who raced this weekend, who would you most like to own?
Oh, probably Mr. Brightside.
Mr. Brightside. I'll say Traffic Warden. Because there's a life after racing, unlike Mr. B. And he's a bit younger. Will, thoughts on Mexican cuisine from Tice? What does this mean?
Oh, for fuck's sake. I'll tell you after. This doesn't need to go on the podcast.
Okay, no worries. Riley Stoddart, did we successfully find Tony Otterbrey's burner? Yeah, I saw Riles having a bit of a Twitter war with a guy who had one follower.
Who did? Telling who me, was having it?
One of my mates who... follows a podcast that I've played a bit of footy with. He was having a bit of a Twitter war with someone who has one follower who was telling me that I'm an idiot for thinking Via Sustina is a good horse and that she can win the Turnbull.
Yeah, well, it's probably and
all of his stuff is like defending Pride of Jenny, etc. So maybe we have found Tony's burner. Tice, describe the scenes if Mr. B goes to the Fiend. man, I'm telling you guys, Mooney Valley Cap is on, but this is the best night of racing for the entire year. Like, forget about Cox Plate Eve. Grand Final Eve is one of the greats. We've got Topic coming. He's a international DJ. I think he's German. He's doing an after party. We'll have Mr. Brightside, hopefully, to the Fiend. You've got I Wish I Win versus Hayasugi in the Manicato. I Wish I Win's, you can still get like $4.50 for him. I think that's a pretty good price. Maybe he's not a Mooney Valley horse, but we're going to have good horses. We're going to have good racing. Hopefully we've got good weather and we've got an after party. Like, it is just the best weekend of the year, Grand Final, AFL Grand Final weekend, and there's no better way to start it than at the Valley. Shane Burnett, how many lengths does linebacker win the spring champion by?
Oh, yeah, he's probably got to be favourite for it, hasn't he?
Well, if it goes there.
Yeah, it probably won't.
Who knows if it even
goes there. It's probably too good to go to it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably a fair sentence. A lot of these three-year-olds that... Well, like, the spring champion is just turned into a race where it's probably the B-grade three-year-olds getting out over a trip. Who's the last good horse to win a spring champion? Castle Vecchio, maybe.
He was probably the best. Yeah.
Well, they changed the dates. It's on Cox Plate Day now.
Profondo was pretty good.
Yeah, Profondo. Wait, did Castle Vecchio win it or not?
Oh.
Nah, he did.
He ran second, I think. I think he ran second in it. I'm pretty sure he was ran second. I think he was beaten by... who was he beaten by?
Shadow Hero?
Yeah, Shadow Hero. He was beaten by Shadow Hero.
Yeah, fuck. Memory's good. Memory's good tonight. Mm. Yeah, he was a good horse. Maybe I was getting mixed up with Profondo because they wear the same colours. Mm. But yeah, the spring champion used to be, I think it was 2 weeks before a Cox Plate, and now it's on Cox Plate Day. So I don't know. I don't know what happened there. Maybe PVL was thinking he'll just get some more three-year-olds to the spring champion by taking them off us, but I don't think it's been the best thing for the race.
No, it's killed it.
All right, let's wrap up the podcast there. We're just on an hour. So see you here on Thursday. Bot, quick word, anything you're looking forward to this weekend? I know I'm looking forward to seeing another Bot, another Will in the Testarossa.
Mm. And Craig. Another button, Craig. A couple of good names there.
Yeah. Why? I put out a tweet before. Why is Craig going to the Testarossa? You've got an 80 raider who needs to win either the Testarossa or the Sandown Stakes to make it into the Toorak because they're both winning your in races. And they're taking on another wheel. The rail's out 6 metres at Caulfield. Another wheel's going to sit on pace. You're going to be at the back. You're probably not going to beat him unless you're back up into the Sandown Stakes next week, 1,500 metres Sandown on grand final day. You could be ruining your chances of getting into the Toorak.
Yeah.
It's a clash that I want to see.
Just on Toorak Stakes day.
Yeah. Yeah, I think another wheel will be a little bit too good for him this week, especially at 1,400 metres and rail out and a few things. But, yeah, I don't know. That's probably the highlight of the day outside the Group 1. Maybe even included in the Group 1. All right, let's wrap it up there. We'll see you back here on Thursday. Don't know if we'll have a guest or not, but we'll think about it and we'll see you back here then.